Father, we celebrate this morning the birth of a Savior, Jesus, because only Jesus saves. His name is a reminder. His life is a reminder. His presence in our lives is a reminder that Jesus saves. And we're also reminded that that he truly is with us. He's with us through the Holy Spirit. Every day, every place, everything that we do, think, or say. And so, Father, I ask that you'd use this time of year to refresh us, Lord. Help us celebrate that rebirth in Jesus. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Now let our worship be a fragrant in your sight, Lord. Let it be pleasing to you. Let us honor you. And we ask this in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.
All right, we'll stand back up. Oh, come, all you faithful.
One wintry day, a man was walking down the street and noticed some grain on the ground. A flock of sparrows was having a glorious feast. As the man took a step toward the birds, they became uneasy. Another step, and their nervousness increased. When he was almost upon them, they suddenly flew away. For a few moments, the man stood there reflecting on what had happened. Why had those sparrows scattered in flight? He had meant no harm to them. But then he realized that he was too big. Another question came to mind. How could he walk among those birds without frightening them by his size? Only if it were possible for him to become a sparrow and fly down among them would they not be afraid of him, for he would then be as one of them. But centuries later, the angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds and announced, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Yes, God became man just like us, so that we would not be afraid of him or take flight from him, but draw near to him and let him be close to us. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us."
Amen.
Thank you.
seated.
The word Noel actually means good news. And hey, that is good news. Now, on this next song, Peggy is going to sing the verse, and then we're going to join together on singing the chorus. Okay? It's on page 2 on the inside. Okay? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're going to all join together on that. Okay.
Well, I think when you think about up north and how cold it is up there, I think we can say, sweltering in this heat with Jesus on our mind, telling the good news to everyone we find. We're going where he leads, to every soul forlorn, spreading out the word of God that Jesus Christ is born.
All together now.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same.
God worked a marvelous plan. He gave a gift to man. We're going to proclaim that Jesus is his name. And at this Christmas all can know him as their king, who brought eternal life to man, and that is why we sing.
All together,
praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same.
And you can know him too, just open up your heart. Invite him in to stay as Lord and King today. He'll be your faithful guide and take you by the hand and show you all the wondrous things for you he has so planned. Oh.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same.
Nice, well done.
Hark the herald angels sing. Why don't we stand and sing that?
Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful the nations rise.
Join the triumph of
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east, saying, "We have come and followed the star. Where is he?" Now, when Herod heard this, and all Jerusalem with him, they were troubled. So he called together the chief priests and scribes of the people and demanded of them to know where the Christ was to be born. And the prophet said, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written in the scriptures, O thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not thou the least among the princes of Judea? Yet out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the wise men and diligently inquired of them as to what time they saw the star. And then he said to them, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, send me word that I too may go and worship him." And when they had finished speaking, they departed. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east appeared unto them, and they followed it until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with his mother Mary. And they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they went into their own country another way. And when they were departed, lo, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into the land of Egypt, for Herod seeks the young child's life." And they said, "Remain there until I bring you word." And thus were the scriptures fulfilled that said, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod died, and lo, an angel of the Lord had appeared unto Joseph. But Herod, when he realized that he was mocked of the wise men, became exceeding angry, and he sent forth and he killed all the children in Bethlehem and in the town around, 2 years and under, according to the time that he had inquired of the wise men. And thus were the scriptures fulfilled that were spoken of by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "In Ramah there is a voice heard, Rachel, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, for the children were no more." Then Herod died, and lo, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream and said, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and return to the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." So Joseph took the young child and the mother and returned to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus ruled in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding, God warned him in a dream, and he turned aside, and he came into Galilee and dwelled in a city called Nazareth. And thus were the scriptures fulfilled that says, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Matthew chapter 2.
Away in a manger, if we could all stand.
The little kids, the kids are coming. Come on, okay. Good, gonna sing. Play for them. Are they all up here? Okay. Away in a manger. Can you see the words there? Good. Okay.
Thank you.
Now would be a perfect time if you wanted to refill your hot chocolate mugs. Would be a perfect time to do that. Have a seat. Get comfortable. Kids, stay here. We're going to have a story time.
That was
come on, you kids, come on up front. Who wants to help me read the story? We've got the big kid pastor here up front, so you know. Since Christmas is a special holiday for kids, it seems only appropriate that we have a children's story to share at Christmas time. George, are we, we're not up. Well, maybe it's because I'm... Oops. Now, I'm sure so many of you are familiar with the story of how the Grinch stole Christmas. And that Grinch comes to Whoville, right? And because he's got a tiny little heart, he steals Christmas. And I came across, while I was looking for a good story for our kids, I came to the story of how his cousin, the Grinch, stole Christmas. So let's see what the story has to say. You've heard of his cousin, the Grinch, who stole Christmas in a sack. But his heart grew in the end, and he gave it all back. But unlike his cousin, the Grinch knew his place. His heart wasn't too small. Oh, no. His tiny heart simply lacked grace. Boy, look how tiny and how graceless his heart is. His miserable mission was clear from the start. He'd lie, cheat, and steal the hope that was present in every new heart. Christmas was coming, the Yews' favorite time of year. They'd celebrate Jesus and be of great cheer. As much as the Yews loved the message of grace, the Grinch hated each smile found on every Yew face. I'll find a way to ruin Christmas for once and for all. For hadn't that been his mission ever since the fall? Ooh, look at that face. Thinking was hard for the Grinch. He grimaced and groaned. He huffed and he moaned. Finally, his face contorted into a ferocious snorted. If the Yews like Christmas so much, I'll give them more, more, and still more. If his plan was to work, it would need to be clever. So the Grinch's mean mind came up with the worstest plan ever. So he spent the next few days watching you, paying special attention to the things you look, say, and do. His plan was mean, so nasty and scary, he'd help to use Christmas, but take all the merry. Whatever meant most to each you girl and boy, they get more, more, and more, until they lost all their joy. Grinch had stolen the Christ out of Christmas, kicking Jesus out of the manger, and he had replaced him with more, more, and more, a most terrible danger. The Grinch's face twisted into a slimy smirk. I've no time to enjoy, must get back to work. So he exercised his oversized deceiver. It must be ready to answer all the wise, to sell the Christmas lies I'll give to any you believers. He started with Miss Lindy Yew, who baked Christmas cookies, red, green, and blue. Grinch posted on Facebook, suggested giving cookies to neighbors and friends. Soon, Lindy Yew found herself baking round the clock without ends. Her oven was stuffed from morning till night. Each day she made cookies, dozen more and more and still more. By the week before Christmas, she was grumpy and sore. I'm through making cookies for friends who don't care. I won't give them a one, not a bite. So there. Well, the Grunch relished his win over now blue Lindy Yu, for her Christmas was spoiled by all her troubles and toils. Baking cookies for friends no longer seemed cool. She'd skip Christmas this year, she thought with a tear. No one will make me their Christmas fool. Well, you wonder what happens next. From his mountaintop hideout, the Grunch glared down at Yuville. He would find another Yu and give him more Christmas, too. Then, the Grunch spotted Bobby Yu admiring his Christmas display. There were many, many lights, some flashing, some plain. Animated Santa on the rooftop, calling out reindeer by name. Tucked in a corner was a manger, not overly big or importantly main. Thought the Grunch to himself, I'll fix this Yu's Christmas train. As Bobby Yu admired his Christmas display, the Grunch silently, sneakily studied his prey. The Grunch thought to himself, pulling Bobby Yu over the top will be easy to do. I'll send a home center ad full of Christmas decor. When he reads it, he'll want more, more, and still more. And that's just how it happened to good Bobby Yu. The ad flyer inspired lots of things he could and would do. Blow-ups, animated figures, more lights he would add. He'd have the most decorated house in Yuville, even if it cost the last Yu dollar he had. Every free hour he had was spent adding more, more, and still more until it became one big tiresome chore. The final straw came when neighbor Hugh Yu suggested even more he could do. That does it. No one appreciates one bit. No more Christmas for them. And he cut the power and left Christmas unlit. Well, the Grunch was happy, at least as happy as a Grunch could be. If you looked at him closely, a smiley, wily sneer you'd see. He considered that his plan was working quite well. The more Yus got, the more that they wanted. As they shopped to and fro, their credit card balances continued to grow, grow, and grow. But grown-ups weren't the only ones in Grunch sights. He went after kiddos, too, down to the smallest of mites, like you. Young Betty Yu would be the next to get Grunched. Her Christmas list was short and sweetie, a doll for herself and a collar for her puppy, Petey. Totally an unacceptable, sneered Grunch. Before I'm through, the Betty Yu Christmas list will total 102. Every show that she watched, every friend that she'd call, added yet another item to her list, conveniently available at Yuville Mall. The Grunch was happy, you could tell by his sneer. I'll stress out her parents now that Christmas is near. Betty Yu's parents were puzzled and sore. Why would their happy little child want more, more, and still more? Well, can you imagine a kid wanting too many Christmas presents? Hard to believe. What they didn't know and they couldn't see was the Grunch tempting sweet Betty Yu with all the toys in the store. And online, too. Well, that's not good. That's not good. George, help me, please. Thank you. Finally, you parents had had quite enough. They took all our presents in a mad, angry huff, tossed them all in a sack, and in a matter of minutes, they sent them all back. There'll be no Christmas at our house this season. Little Betty Yu's greed is the reason. One by one the Yus fell for the Grunch's call for more, more, and still more. And their faces grew somber, forgetting the Christmas love they had from before. Instead of greeting each Yu friend with a cheer, they scowled at each other. What do you want here? With Christmas just days away, the Yus trudged on with more shopping and baking. It wasn't about giving, it was all about taking. They shopped more and did more until they couldn't stand anymore. Instead of celebrating the birth of a savior, they fell victims to the strangest behavior. Now the Grunch poured it on. He loved watching Yus run from task to task. It was better than fun. By the time Christmas came and all the Yu tasks were done, There would be no room for celebrating the birth of a son. No prayers, no worship, no scripture this season. And Grunch was the only one who knew the real reason. Yet even as most youths rushed madly about, there still were a few youths who wouldn't give out to the siren call, the shopping galore that called out youths from every youth store. They studied God's word and kept Christ and Christmas. For them, Christmas was merry, more than merry, very merry, very. A few days before Christmas, as most youths scurried in a last-minute flurry of hurry, 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 there still were a few youths who gathered for worship and prayer. Peaceful and loving, gathered they without worry. Their pastor, daring you, would teach from Luke 2. He spoke of a child in a manger who replaced the false danger. The babe put a smile on the face of every you who skipped the rat race. The Grunch grimaced and scowled as he watched the display as the faithful youths worshipped and prayed. For Grunch knew that if the youths kept Christ and Christmas, that he'd never capture their hearts, minds, or souls. The Grunch knew he was beaten. No victory would be won. It was over because God gave his only son. Despite all the you hurries, the gifts that merely flattered, Jesus is the only gift that really mattered. The end, or the beginning.
Let the kids all go back. Tell the kids they can go back and sit. That's it.
Okay, all the children can go back if you want to. And now Auntie Peggy is going to come with the night before Christmas.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house. Not a creature was praying, no, not even that mouse. The Bibles were laid on the shelf unread, along with DVDs and movies and other such like things instead. The children all snuggled tight in their beds, no one saying goodnight prayers or bowing their heads. Mama in her rocker, with the baby on her lap, was watching the late show as I took a nap. When out from the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash, and what do my wondering eyes should appear? But angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. The light was like the sun that sent forth a bright ray, and I knew in a moment that this was that day. The light from his face made me cover my head. Jesus was returning just like he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. The book of life that he held in his hand contained the names of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. And when he said, 'It's not here,' my head hung in shame. Those whose names were written in love, he gathered together to take to his Father above. Those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while the rest of us were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and sealed my fate. Then I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I would have been ready tonight. And then a light hit my eyes, and there was such a great beam. I woke in my bed and realized this was only all a bad dream. I knew in a moment that none of this had taken place. But I knew in my heart I needed God's grace. So I slipped from my bed and my knees hit the floor, and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior and Lord. And this is a story I will tell and remember when I gave my life to Jesus that Christmas in December.
Well, that was a good message, wasn't it? All of it. You know, I love that story that Pastor Gary shared that he wrote, because it's so easy to get off course, isn't it? Not just around Christmas times, but in our life. You know, the Bible says every one of us, we're all like sheep, we go astray. I don't know about you, but I can be easily distracted, you know, sort of an ADD boy, you know, squirrel. And for some of us, you know what I'm talking about, right? And our minds and our thoughts and our focus is on everything else in our lives. We get so busy. We get so caught up with the job, with the hustle, with the family, even good things. And we're forgetting about the only great thing. And that's Jesus Christ. There is no other name given to men by which we must be saved. You know, I received something from a friend. His name is Rick, and I call him Prayer Dog, and I've done that for about 25 years. And he loves to pray, and he sent me this little text, and it really got me thinking, too. You know, Jesus, they call him Emmanuel. Everybody knows what that means, right? God with us. The King of the universe came down to be with us. He didn't come in a big palace. He didn't come in a big mansion. He didn't come in a big corporation or business. He came down in the lowest of low areas. He came to a little place called what? Bethlehem. We would see that as kind of like a podunk town, right? Whatever you want to call it, a hick town, right? Can anything good come out of these places? And yet the King of Kings came to this backwater, messy town. And not only that, guys, but it says that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that where the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess one way or the other that Jesus is Lord. And it says that this king was not only born in this backwaters, messy, podunk town, not only that, but Jesus Christ was born in a stable? In a manger? Now listen, I love these things. Can you guys see all this? Okay, and we have the cows and it looks and this nice little thing here and the ornament and Jesus in a manger. It looks so pretty, doesn't it? It's so sterile. But the reality of it is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born in a really messy place. Think about it. Your king, your God, came in a messy backwater town, in a messy backwater barn. So, how many of you guys have been in a barn? Have you actually been in a real barn? Okay, can I tell you? You know what's in a barn? There's a lot of poop. There's a lot of, right, there's a lot of diseases, a lot of sickness, there's a lot of, I hate to say it, poop, there's animal, this is the reality of where the king was born. He announced it to shepherds, which was the lowest of the low. And I guess this is the point that I'm trying to make. Some of us have really messy lives. Isn't that true? Can I just remind you that my God and your God has come to us in the messiest of messies to tell us and to communicate to us that he knows about your messy life. And he knows about the mess and the, if you'll forgive me, the poop that we're in. And he's come to rescue you out of that and to put you on the solid ground, on the solid rock. That's our God. Is that not amazing? He cleans us from the inside out. That is our God. That is our King. That is my Jesus. That's what he does. He doesn't leave us in that messy stable in the poop. He rescues us and he sanctifies us from the inside out. That's our God. Now listen, George, if you could bring up that gospel slide for me, I'd appreciate it. Because I want, and we want, to give you a message. None of us knows how much time we have. None of us. Isn't it true? And the Bible says that he who has the Son has eternal life. And he who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. There is a heaven and a hell. That's a reality. The Bible says that God created us to be with him. Listen, a lot of times we don't come to Jesus because we are embarrassed about our mess, right? We're embarrassed about how we look, how we feel, how we're acting. Yet God came to us. He created us to be in a relationship with him. It says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It says that he knit you together in your mother's womb. He did that. It says that he knows the plans and the purpose for you. You. And he's got a plan that he wants you to walk in. Listen to me. If you're not focusing, listen to me. Our God, Jesus Christ, has come so that you could have a relationship with him. Not come to church. Listen, if you're coming to church and you're not living in the power of Jesus Christ, something's wrong. God has a new life for you. The Bible says you could be born again. He's created us to be with him. But our own sin separates us from God. The things we do, you guys know the Ten Commandments, right? Even just the Ten Commandments, right? How many of us honor the Lord every day without fail? How many of us even keep holy the Sabbath? How many of us have never lied or never stolen or never had a bad thought? Or I don't think any of us can say that. We're all sinners, every single one of us. And if you think you're a good person, I can dispel that in a second. The Bible says there's no one good but God. We're all in need of a Savior. And our sins can't be removed by doing good things. I don't know. Like when I grew up in church. Can I tell you that? And I thought, well, if I just was really nice to people and I just did a lot of good things and I just went to a lot of Bible studies, I could be saved. That's not what it's about. That can't get me to God. That sin can only be removed by Jesus paying the price for our sin. That's why he died on the cross. His blood was shed for you and me. That whoever would receive him, and you have to receive him. What Peggy was saying, that we have to invite him into our heart today. The Bible says now, today is the day of salvation. And it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that you can be saved. You don't have the strength and the power to live for him. You do not. You will go off focus. Your eyes and your attention will hit other things. Relationship, business, family, work, money, you name it. It'll go that direction. God wants you focused on him. The Bible says that everyone who trusts in him alone will have eternal life. When we all come to the end of this life, and listen, I know you don't think it's going to happen, right? Because you're young, or you're strong, or you're what? But we're all going to get there, every single one of us. And the Bible says that whoever trusts in Jesus alone has eternal life. It doesn't matter who your friends were, what your job was, what church you went to, how many times you went to youth group. What matters is, have I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Is he guiding my life? Am I living for him? Lord, that's what's going to matter when everything else is gone. And life with Jesus, the Bible says, starts right now and it lasts forever. He didn't come to leave us in that mess. He came to save us out of that mess and to put us on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. so that you could be a light to others and lead others to him. That they could see your good works, not to get to heaven, but because you're so thankful that he saved you. Now listen, I know that's a lot to take in. But I want to urge you today, if you have not made that decision, I'm asking you, I'm begging you to make that decision today. And it will be a life-changing decision. You cannot stay where you're at and follow Jesus at the same time. If you invite Jesus into your heart and it's a real thing, let me tell you, things will start to change. Isabella, your thoughts will start to change. Nicole, your direction will start to change. Laura, your actions will change. Because now you're not living for yourself anymore. Clayton, you're living for Jesus. That's the power of God. And he'll take care of those things from the inside out. And then when you die, you know what? That eternal life is starting now, and that's going to go on forever. That's the confidence that we have. I don't want anyone here to miss it. Please, let's just bow our heads right now. Can we all do that? And I don't know where you're at. So first, I'm going to talk to those who don't know you, Jesus. So give me the right words. Lord, as we pray, Lord, I just pray for each person right here, right now. If they've not chosen to make you Lord of their life, you would do that today. It's not about Christ and Christmas. It's about Christ. Merry Christmas. It's all about you, Jesus. Would you please help each person here, whatever's blocking them from you today, Lord God? Would you break down that wall and would you help them to just say to you, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, Lord God. I know you desire a relationship with me. Will you come into my life and come into my heart, Lord? Will you make me new? Will you cleanse me of all my sin, Lord God, and all my unrighteousness? Lord, will you help me to follow you, Lord? I don't even know all that that means, but I want to do it, Lord God. I'll leave everything behind. I just want to follow you, Jesus. Lead me, guide me, come into my life and save me, Lord. Will you say that to him? Will you ask him to please do that in your life right now? If you've done that, would you please let us know, because we want to help you to grow in the Lord so that seed falls on good soil. And listen, if you're here today and you're a believer, maybe you've lost your direction. Maybe you've lost your devotions and you've wandered off searching after even good things and you forgot the focus of our whole life is to be on Jesus Christ. Today, this day, Lord God, I ask for my brothers and sisters for a refreshing in the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you would touch them with your joy, with your peace, with your direction, Lord, with your zeal, with your fire, Lord God, with your heart, with your attitude, Lord God. Would you switch back whatever needs to be done, all of our focus, Lord God, back on you, because that's the only thing that matters in this life, Lord God. I know you love us, Lord. Will you help us to see with spiritual eyes what your Holy Spirit wants us to see? And would you renew our faith, renew our focus? Any sacrifice we make for you, Lord God, is going to be rewarded. We just need to trust in you. Bless your people this day, Lord God. Save your people this day, Lord God. We love you and we bless you and we pray this in Jesus Christ's name, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen, and amen. Nate.
In closing, why don't we stand and sing Silent Night? Beautiful song, many, many years ago was written. But the words never change, which is beautiful. And the message never changes. Thank you, Lord.
I
isn't that right? Christ the Savior was born, he grew up, he died for us, and he rose again. That is the entire message. He rose again for our salvation. So Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. God bless you all.